So as the so-called cleanup hitter here, I'm going to suggest that everybody get up.
Get up.
I've been sitting for a long time. Like, it's a little runny in place. Come on. Close quarters, guys. Put your hands up in the air. Shake them down. Shake them all around.
Okay.
I told you she'd tell us how to put
them on. All right. So I'm going to run through my slides quickly as I can, because I know there are going to be questions in the audience, and I know we're running just a tad late here. So I have no disclosures to make in this conversation, presentation. I'm here talking about a project that is kind of building on AHR. So my name is Deborah Dietrich. I work for a health system. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. My background is in public health. I worked in the state health department. I've taught at the university and done health research for a number of years. Have been with the health system for about 12 years. So those of you who don't know Maine, I'm going to give you just a little bit of a snapshot. We are a very large state geographically, very small population. As you can see, just over 1.3 million. We're extraordinarily rural, and we now have the dubious distinction of being the oldest state in the United States. It's a very white population, although we have new populations of immigrants and refugees in certain areas of the state. It's a very poor state, obviously, and in the last year or so, our rate of uninsured has climbed considerably. We have a lot of obesity, a lot of tobacco use, not unlike other poor rural states in the United States. Another thing to keep in mind is that Maine has a very different public health infrastructure. We do not have local health departments other than two health departments at the city level in Portland and Bangor. We do have local health districts. These were created just a couple of years ago. They have no funding, no real jurisdiction, however. And so I say this because you might be asking, why is a health system working on public health initiatives? And one of the reasons is the lack of a formal public health infrastructure in our state. We do have a number of groups who have been very involved in promoting health, and particularly health behaviors, called Healthy Maine Partnerships, that were funded by tobacco settlement funds. Maine had the distinction of using 100% of the tobacco settlement funds for health-related initiatives as of a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, that has changed dramatically as of July 1st this year, when our governor and legislature cut that in half. So Maine Health is a not-for-profit health care system. We actually technically serve a little more than three-quarters of the state in terms of population. And oftentimes when I'm talking about the system, I like to differentiate the fact that although we are a healthcare system, our primary overarching vision is around promoting community health. It is not about cost, quality, and access. Certainly we're concerned about that, but it's about promoting community health. That's an important thing to keep in mind. And we're now one of the largest employers in the state. We have about 15,000 employees. So I'm here to talk today about sort of what taking America's health rankings in particular and putting it into action, as a couple of the presenters mentioned. So as of about 3 years ago, as I mentioned, we have a focus on health improvement as a system, there are many forces that are converging now, and if you heard Reed Tuckson's presentation yesterday, you heard him talk a lot about the convergence between clinical care and public health. And frankly, if we are going to make the accountable care movement work, if we're going to make health reform work, it's my personal feeling that we have got to converge together and work really closely. So about 3 years ago, the chair of the Maine Health Board, who happens to be the chancellor of the university system in Maine, said to me, Deb, we are putting a lot of money into community health improvement. We're doing a lot of things that are really at a very high level. Are we making a difference? And the classic expression about that is, of course, are we moving the needle? So, of course, I started sweating profusely. I was standing up in front of a board meeting at the time. I had no idea how I was going to respond to this. And so, frankly, we spent a little bit of time looking around the country at a number of other strategies to measure community health or community health improvement at a very high level. So this goes back to 2008. We then put an advisory group together. As Anna mentioned a minute ago, Tom Ricketts, who had been the chair of the Scientific Advisory Committee for AHR, actually came to Maine and met with a huge group of stakeholders. We looked at America's health rankings, and frankly, we liked how it worked. We knew that it had been in place for a long time. It was very stable and a very valid, we thought, source of leadership on this issue. So over the years, we have, I'm going to talk in a little more detail about each one of these points, but we actually, our first report, and I'll show you an example of that, was issued in 2010, also in 2011, and we will be coming out with our report for 2012 to coincide with the launch of America's Health Rankings on December 11th. We're one of the groups that has been very fortunate to get an embargoed copy of the report ahead of time and also of the rankings. And actually, just to go back here, we too created our own scientific advisory committee, which met for the first time 2 weeks ago in Maine. Very exciting, and I think we're on the right track. So why did we do this? Why would a health system that is basically involved in taking care of sick people have an interest in putting together a project like this? Well, again, I think our board, our leadership team, et cetera, has been very interested in this whole notion of improving community health. And actually, over the course of the last 3 years, as we've been doing this work, we are really starting to move resources away from curative kinds of things, away from putting more money into hospitals, et cetera, and much more into prevention. And for those of you who are involved, anybody here work in clinical care or for a health system? Okay, a couple people. The whole move toward accountable care and being able to document improvements in population health metrics is a huge, huge issue for healthcare. So when we started this whole project, we looked at America's health rankings and the 23 indicators that were part of this model. And we said when we convened this group that I mentioned several years ago that we couldn't do it all. There was no way that we were going to focus on all of these measures and do them justice. And so we went through a process to identify high priority measures for us as a health system and where we felt that working with others, we could actually make a difference. And these are the things that you see in red here. Smoking, obesity, childhood immunizations, preventable hospitalizations, cardiovascular deaths, and cancer deaths. So those became our top six priorities. This past year, we actually added a seventh priority. Now, interestingly enough, this is a metric that isn't embedded in America's health rankings, so we're on our own here. But this is an issue that has, Maine has the dubious distinction of being number one in the United States in terms of prescription drug-related mortality. We have a huge issue with bath salts in Maine, which is something related to this. But in any event, we've now added this issue. We're in process of pulling together indicators on this. But so again, it's a focusing from the 23 down to the 7. So I think with Tom, who mentioned logic models here today, and being the good public health people that we are, we also introduced into this process the idea of logic models. Now, I can tell you, when I got up in front of our board, which is, you know, a lot of people who represent large corporations and, you know, academic institutions, et cetera, and I started talking about, first, the social determinants of health and about how clinical care is not everything in terms of producing health, and then I went into a discussion about logic models. You know, I think they thought I was from Mars. But I can say that these folks have come a long way over the course of the last 3 years, and now I have chairs of boards of our member hospitals talking about, is this part of the logic model? Are we doing this thing because it's really going to lead to that long-term outcome? This also forced us, frankly, to take a look at for any of these things, whether they were immunizations or cardiovascular mortality, et cetera, and put in these buckets things that are already going on in terms of the intermediate outcomes and the process outcomes. And frankly, we have stopped doing certain things because they just didn't line up. And that's a very hard process indeed. So we're using a variety of different ways to track our progress here. We do use AHR, the annual report, as kind of our sentinel indicator of how we are doing as a state. We also use a lot of the information in the county health rankings. And then we have, the state has other sources of data, and then we have our own sources of data as a health system. So how have we done? Last year, we were number 8 in the United States. We know because of the behavior risk factor survey changes in methodology that you just heard about that we're probably not going to end up as number 8 this year. So I'm going to have some fast talking to do with my board in a few weeks. But the point here is that we have come up consistently. You'll see that the New England states are overrepresented in the top 10. So as I often say, we have a lot of competition in New England. And frankly, one of the things that this project has also done is to have us talking with other states, particularly Vermont and New Hampshire, about what they're doing on some of these important indicators. And this just shows you how we have come up over time. So let me just kind of quickly go on here. This is just a cover of our 2011 report. We highlight, and let me go to the content of the report. Each of those indicators has a 2-page spread. And I should say that, again, if you're dealing with decision makers who don't have a lot of time, who really want to look at something and get kind of the high points of the data and the implications, et cetera, you want to have something that's relatively easy to read and is going to interest people in looking at it. So for each of our indicators, we have a 2-page spread in the report. On the left-hand side, we have the data and sort of the state of the state. And over here, what we've tried to do is to divide the activities that we're undertaking to address each of these priorities into 3 buckets: clinical, community, and policy. Okay. So again, this really does illustrate how the clinical folks have to work with the community folks, and then what we do together at the policy level. And we do a great many things in that realm. And then we have getting to the next level. Now, I will say that we are this year working with a graphic designer that we worked with last year. As I look at this report, it's way busy. We're trying to make this a little cleaner and neater and a little more readable. But the components will remain the same. We compare Maine to the best state in the United States up here and look at where the U.S. rate is as well. And one of the things that we have done and are continuing to do is to get a lot more granular in the data. So wherever we have county-level data or zip code-level data, that's where we're going with this. So we also, as I mentioned, use the county health rankings. This is another tool. The ones that you see in red here are counties that are in the Maine health service area. I just want to point out that not all of the counties are in the Maine health service area that are highly ranked. And Doug Michael, who's actually sitting in the front row here from Hancock County, could probably answer questions about how a very small, very impoverished, rural county in the state of Maine ends up on almost the top of the list. So just a quick example of what we're doing as a health system on some of these issues. We were a founding partner for an initiative called Let's Go 7 years ago, which is directed to focus on the problem of childhood obesity. It's been enormously successful. We're doing things in the clinical realm. We also are now working with virtually every county in the state to implement this program and a lot of policy work. And each of our hospitals now, over the course of the past year, has actually identified in their strategic plans and has actually begun to fund initiatives that align with these health index priorities. So we're driving this down to the very, very most local level. So the keys to the our keys to success in this whole endeavor, are that we look to America's health rankings initially as the backbone of this effort. There's a lot of partnerships, and you heard Reed Tuckson talk about this yesterday again. It's about collaboration, because neither sector can do it alone. We do relate to the state health department, but again, as I mentioned in the earlier slide, the state health infrastructure is very, very limited in Maine. So we really need to reach out to community partners, and we also work a lot with other health systems in the state. We do a lot with the media, not quite as much as is done at the national level. And we, too, have a problem. Literally all the newspapers in our state have jettisoned their health reporters over the course of the past 2 years. So that is a real challenge. And then finally, we've been using the index, our health index, to generate and leverage additional resources. And this just gives you an example of some of the resources that we have, external resources that we have generated over the course of the last year. So I'm not going to read these. We were very happy to get to be funded as part of the Small Communities CTG, Community Transformation Grants from the US CDC just a couple of weeks ago, specifically to advance work on obesity, tobacco, cancer, and cardiovascular disease, four of our seven priorities. So that $2.4 million is largely going back to those small communities so they, in turn, can work on these issues. So it's all about taking, you know, what happens at a very high level and translating it down. So my last slide is just, I think this is truly an unprecedented opportunity we have to bring public health and medical care together. We have to work together on advancing population health. The clinical folks are being held, will be held to these quality indicators, and we in public health need to help them do that. We've also leveraged local action. One of the counties in our service area had the dubious distinction of being the least healthy county in the state of Maine for 2 years of running. They've come up one notch over the course of the past year, and now I have local decision makers from that county calling me up saying, how can we get better? What can we do as a county? So we've recently organized a new collaborative. It's called the Oxford County Wellness Collaborative. We have business people involved, etc. They want to make a place where businesses will come and invest their resources, and they're using a framework of community health to do that. We're also reaching out beyond public health to involve others in the environmental health movement. Maine is all about a pristine, beautiful environment, and there are many people who are involved in that effort who are also interested in healthy communities. And over the course of the past year, we have discovered each other, and now we are looking at collaboratively funding healthy community initiatives across the state. So that's been very exciting. And then, as some of the other folks here mentioned today, we are definitely moving from a paper environment to a web environment. So that's one of the most exciting things for us, so to make this work more accessible and hopefully interactive and moving it on. So let me stop there, and I think we want to have, Tom, are you going to emcee the Q&A part of this?
I'll try to keep this short enough. Anyway, okay. So.
Thanks, Deb. That was great. So now.